I wanted to start this morning a series of Sunday school lessons. My favorite way to teach the Old Testament is in the context of the New Testament. And so, excuse me, I want to start a series of lessons this morning on faith. Now, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, because that is the chapter in the Bible that we call the Hall of Faith. And it's the faith chapter. And what I want us to do is to go through this chapter together. And in doing that, we're going to be looking at a lot of the Old Testament, and we're going to be learning a lot for our own lives about this subject of faith, of being women of faith. Now look at me. Do you want more faith? Do you want to be a woman that's faith-filled? Do you? Well, these series of lessons are going to help us to do that very thing. So let's open with a word of prayer. Let's ask God to give us attentive hearts this morning. And we're going to just introduce it this morning in the first three verses. And I think you're going to find it very interesting. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pause before we look into your word this morning, because we're women and we've been busy this morning, and there are a lot of things on our plate. And so, Father, we want to just set this time aside to calm ourselves and to look intently at your word. Would you help us to do that? And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in our lives, that you are our resident teacher, and that you take God's word and you make it real in our lives. So, Father, do that very thing this morning in us. As we study this chapter, as we taste of you this morning and we sense that you are good, and it will make us hungry for more. And I pray for us that we'll be faithful to this study, that we'll come on Sunday mornings, that we'll feed consistently on your word, and thereby we'll grow and become mature. And Father, we're living in needy days, and we're needy women, and we need your word. So help us, Father, to receive it this morning. And I pray that you'll say something very personal in this lesson to each of us that we can take with us, and that it will have meaning. And Father, we'll hang on to that. And you'll speak to us through it all during the week. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, I want to start out by jumping in chapter 11 to a verse. I want to go to verse 6 in chapter 11. And I want you just to look at that verse with me. Because you know what? If I were to say to you, do you want to be pleasing to God? Do you want to live a life that's pleasing to God? And you would say, yes, I really, really do. How do I do that, Teresa? Well, here it is in verse 6. Let's look at it together. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, speaking of God. For he who comes to God must, number one, believe that he is, and number two, that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, you cannot please God apart from faith. Faith is the thing in your life that is pleasing to God. It's not that you do a lot of stuff, or you work real hard, or you try real hard. The thing that God is pleased most with when he looks at your life is, do you believe him? Do you rely on him? Do you trust him? Now, let me give you just a little bit of the context of the book of Hebrews. We don't know exactly who wrote the book, but most people believe it was Paul, and I do too. And it was a book that was written to the Jews. Now, you've got to understand that in the beginning of the church was made up of Jews, mostly Jews. And then Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles, and he began to bring in the Gentiles as well. But at first, it was mainly the new church in Jerusalem. James was the pastor there, and most of the people in the church were coming out of the Jewish system. And you had to think Jewish a little bit. That was an unbelievable way of worship, and it's all that they knew. And so for the first 10 chapters of the book of Hebrews, this writer, he's trying to prove one major point to them. They had been under the old economy. We call it the Old Testament. It could be called the Old Covenant. And then in the upper room that night, before Jesus went to the cross and before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and all of those things, he cut a new covenant with his disciples. He brought in a new dispensation, and that is the new covenant, and we call it the New Testament. And it's the covenant of grace. The old covenant was the covenant of law, and Moses was the one that brought in the law. And so the whole Jewish system was under this old economy, and now the old is passing away because the fulfillment of the old was here. Everything in the old way was a picture of Jesus. The sacrifices, the feast, everything that they did was a picture of Jesus, who was the Messiah. And when he came, the old economy went away and the new came, and it was the covenant of grace. Now, it's one thing for me to tell a Jewish person, just that doesn't matter anymore. You don't have to do sacrifices anymore. You don't have to keep special days and feasts. And you know, circumcision is not like what you think it is. And all of these things aren't important anymore. I mean, it's hard for them to say, oh, well, okay, just forget that. And so they're struggling with the whole new covenant idea. And if you can't count on your works, how are you ever going to reach God? I mean, if it's not about keeping the law and keep doing the sacrifices and doing all the things that they said you had to do, well, how am I going to come to God? And it's very simple. It's very simple. How are you going to come to God? You're going to come by faith. So this is a book that was written to Jews. That's what I want you to see. And so we've got to kind of come at it from a Jewish mentality. Now, go back with me to chapter 10, and I want you to look at verse 38. So for 10 chapters now, he's been trying to show them about this covenant of grace, and now he's going to tell them how they enter in. And I want you to look at verse 38, and here he's going to quote from the Old Testament, which they respect very highly, and he's going to tell them how that they come in. And look at it with me. He says there, how do you enter? What is Habakkuk 2:4? It says, but the just shall live how? By faith. Now, when he says the just, what does that mean? Well, you know, I've told you before, God's standard is perfection. And so how am I going to be made righteous? How am I going to become just in God's sight? And Habakkuk told them how. The just shall live by faith. How do you enter the covenant, the new covenant? It's by faith. Now, faith is the key, not works. And they were so messed up in the works that it was hard for them to even understand faith. And so their first argument would have been to the writer, well, all of our forefathers were saved by works. They did the sacrifices. They went through these special washings. They kept all the ceremonies. They observed the Sabbath so strictly. And they went through all the processes of Judaism. And so the writer just lists all the heroes of Israel in this chapter. And he starts out by saying about every one of the heroes. What does he say? He says, by faith, so-and-so did this. By faith, so-and-so did that. And he's going to go right down the line. Abraham, Sarah, Noah, Moses, Joshua, Jacob. He's going to mention all of them. And so he's going to say, you know, you've got it wrong. It's always been by faith. Didn't you read Habakkuk 2:4? The just shall live by faith. So he's showing them the old covenant was by faith. Now, how did those way before the cross come to God? Just like we do. Now, here they were. They were on this side of the cross. They believed in a coming Messiah. So they had faith in the future. You and I are on the other side of the cross, and we look back, and we are saved the same way, by faith. So Old Covenant, Old Testament, and New Testament were all saved by Christ. They had faith in what was to come. We have in faith in what came. We have the reality. So chapter 11 really is going to be just a catalog of people from the Old Testament who illustrate faith. They illustrate faith. And so he's telling these writers, these readers, don't be shocked. This is nothing new. You've gotten off base. This is always how you come to God. It's by faith. Now we want to look at verses 1 through 3. And in the very first verse, we get a definition of faith. Let's read those three verses together. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval. Now you tell me, what does the "it" stand for there? We have to ask these questions when we read the Bible. How did the men of old gain approval? For by it, men of old gained approval. Now study your Bible with me. What does "it" modify in the very first verse? Faith. Good. So how did the men of old gain approval? By faith. For by it, faith, the men of old gained approval. And then look at verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now let's stop right there. And let's see some things here. We get a twofold definition of faith here. Number one, faith is the assurance. Some versions say substance. That's another word. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, or the substance of things hoped for. And then number two, the conviction of things not seen. And other versions say, Old King James Version says, the evidence of things not seen. Now the word for assurance in the first part of the definition, and the word for conviction, they're very serious words. And they're a little hard to translate in the English. But I want to say this on the front end of our lesson today, as we're studying this together. I don't really want you to be quite so academic. I just want you to be letting this question be ringing in your heart as we study together. Do I have genuine faith? Do I have faith? Do I know I have faith? This is going to be a very practical lesson. Now, the word faith is a simple word in the Greek. Let me tell you what it means. I'm just going to give you three synonyms. Belief is one of them. Trust or confidence. Belief, trust, or confidence. So let's look at the first part of the verse. Faith, first of all, is the substance of things hoped for, or the assurance of things hoped for. Did you get those three words? Belief, trust, confidence. Now what we're going to see as we study this chapter is there are a lot of people in the Old Testament. They had nothing but the promises of God to rest on or to rely on. Way, way, way back, God promised a Messiah. God promised a nation. God promised a coming kingdom. God promised to give them a certain land. God promised peace. God promised safety. God promised a lot of things, and many of them never saw what was promised. They were people of faith. And as they looked forward and they had the promises of God, that faith gave them substance in the future. The promises that came to them were real. And many of them never saw them, but they lived their life and they based their life on God's word and on what God had promised. Faith is not just believing and sort of a wistful hoping, a wistful wishing or a longing that something is going to come to by in the faraway time. Faith is an absolute, utter certainty that what God has said will happen. And I'm going to base my present life on what God has said will come to pass, even though I can't see it yet. But I know God's word is a sure word. Now, I've never seen God, and I've never heard God visit audibly. I've never seen Jesus. I've never touched Jesus. I've never seen his face. But if we follow him, and I do want to follow him, there's a cost involved. There's a cost involved. But I'm going to live my life present tense with the reality of who God is and who Jesus is. Now, what I'm hoping for and what I'm basing my life on will go against the world. Did you know that? Faith says, suffer now with God, live for God now, count your life, think about what you're doing, do it in the presence, go against the world, and go against the system. Now look down in verse 26, because when we get there, we're going to look at Moses. And you know what Moses did? He took a stand on the promise of the coming of Messiah. And guess what? It affected the way he lived his life in the present. You know what he did? He had all the treasures of Egypt at his disposal. And he forsook all those treasures. And he was willing to be persecuted for a Messiah that wasn't going to come for several thousand years. But to him, it was a reality. Then he lived in the light of his hope of what was to come. And that's a very unusual kind of hope. It wasn't that Moses was just wistfully longing. No, his hope gave substance, are you with me, in his present life. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. And in verse 25 there, it says, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He went against the flow. He went against the world. You say, that's crazy. He had everything. He could have had the finest chariots, all the women he wanted, everything at his disposal. He was Mr. Success in the eyes of the world. But he put all of his eggs in the basket of the future. He had a future hope. And to him, it was a certainty. Now, if I know Jesus is coming back, now listen to me. Guess what? There was an earthquake down in Fort Morgan Friday night. There was. 3.5 on the Richter scale. That's really close to us, y'all. And I look at the Middle East and everything is going on. And oh, I just see God putting the pieces in place. I'm going to live my life because I'm certain of this. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And you know what? That changes the way I live my life today. It changes what I want to invest myself in, how I want to spend my time and my energy. I have a certainty. I have a certainty. Now let's talk about this. We all have things that we enjoy by faith. For example, think about this. Have you ever planned a vacation and you're going to the beach maybe? And you know what? I think about your honeymoon, Brittany. Didn't you just think about your honeymoon? And you thought, we're going to sit on the sand and we're going to enjoy. We're going to do all this fun stuff. And for months, did you enjoy it by faith? You could see it, couldn't you? And it was a reality. It was a certainty. And now it's in the past. Now it's back to school. But then you could just feel it. You're going to soak in the sun and feel those waves and hear them on the beach. And it's going to be so romantic. Have you ever anticipated a baby? And you say, we're going to have a baby. And you think about that baby. And by faith, you're rocking that baby. You can see that baby. You know what that baby looks like. And it's just a reality to you. Or maybe you're building a house. You're not in it yet, but by faith, you're already arranging the furniture. And you're picking out your colors. And you're visualizing people coming in your front door and being at home there and enjoying your lovely home. Hebrews is saying faith is simply making present substance out of a future reality. Now, I've never been to heaven. But you know what? I've peeked through every prism in the walls of heaven. In my mind, I can see the jewels. I see the foundation stones. I see the streaks of gold. I know there are 12 gates that are a single pearl. I mean, I'm already checking it out. And it's real to me. It's real to me.
And you see, faith is that ability to take what is in the future and give it present substance. It takes a future reality and gives it present substance. Now, the word substance is an interesting word. The word substance or the word assurance, that's an interesting word. That means you bank on it. That means it's an assurance which is promised and it has content to me. It has reality to me. By the way, your handout's a little sketchy. I just kind of left it to you. I've had grandchildren. Do you really believe that the future God has promised in His Word is real? Now, that's what I want you to answer. Do you really believe it's real? Then if you do, listen to me. You're going to endure. You're going to patiently wait for it. You're not going to get rattled and worried because your faith is giving you a future reality. And that gives you a present substance. Come in. Glad to see you, Jessica. So faith gives us a future object and a security and an assurance. Now let's look at the second part of that definition. The evidence of things not seen, or the conviction of things not seen. This is banking your life on your hope. This means, okay, I believe it, and I'm going to live my life on the basis of something I've never seen. Now, we believe a lot of things. We do a lot of things by natural faith. You know what? I just go to my sink, I turn the water on, I put my glass under there, and I drink it. Now, I haven't seen any of those pipes, and I don't know where that water came from. But by faith, I drink it. I go to my can opener and I open a can of beans and I dump them out and I cook them and I believe that those beans are okay. I do it by faith. I'm driving my car and there's a real big high bridge. You know what? I just drive right over that bridge. By faith, I believe that bridge is going to hold me up. And not only that, you know what? I see signs on the road and I think they're going to take me right where they say they are. By faith, I believe the signs. And I go to the doctor. And the doctor says to me, you have a tumor on your pituitary. I let him put me right to sleep and go right in there and cut that thing out. That's faith. How do I know he knows what to do? How do I know he's talking right to me? I just, by faith, I have natural faith. But there's supernatural faith. And this is a gift of God. Now listen to Ephesians 2:9. It's a verse you know. For by grace, you were saved, how? Through faith. But that not of yourself. In other words, that faith didn't come from you. It is a gift of God. And so there's a supernatural faith that comes to us. That is a gift of God. Now, look at verse 2 again. It says there in verse 2, for by it the men of old gained approval. That means by faith, when they lived by faith, God gave them praise. God approved them. God is pleased when we live by faith. In fact, that's the only thing that pleases Him. Remember our first verse? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I don't care what you do. It's faith that pleases God. It's believing Him that pleases God. We're going to be looking in the coming weeks at the lives of people who believed God. And because they did, now listen, life had meaning for them. Life had substance for them. They were people that lived with a conviction of the future. They had a reality that they based their life on. And their lives didn't wash out. Their lives had meaning. Don't you want meaning in your life? Now look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, this is going to be an example for us to look at of faith. Now, he's talking to these readers. These readers are Jews. Every one of these Jews believed that God was the creator of the world. That was just something in their life that they did not question. And so the writer is saying to them, now, I'm not asking you to muster up something that you can't muster up. I just want you to see you already have faith. You already understand something. You understand that the world in the beginning was made by God. And you know what? You understand that by faith. Because who was with God in the beginning? when he spoke the words and the world was made. Who was with him? No one. He was there with the Trinity, and there no person had been created yet, and so no one could know by sight that God created the world. And by the way, even if they had been there, he didn't create, he created it with what? Words. By the word of God, he spoke and it happened. And the only thing we know about the creation of the universe is what we know by faith. And so you know what? By faith, I understand that everything that's created was created by the word of God. And those listening to this letter would have said, you're right. You're right. We believe that. Now, the word for worlds there in the Greek means the whole creation, everything. The whole thing was formed by a specific utterance of God. He spoke, and it came into existence. This is what Moses taught to them in the Pentateuch. Moses was the writer of Genesis. They knew how it all began. So faith wasn't foreign to them. And that's based upon the principle of creation, that nobody time nothing equals everything. I mean, how can we understand it? Do you realize that by natural faith, all the philosophers of the world and all the scientists of the world, they cannot know what we know by faith. And that is that God created the world. In fact, I think it takes more faith to believe that somewhere there was this slime that turned into an amoeba that ended up being a self-conscious person. I think that's crazy. Now let me just give you a couple of examples. Astronomers tell us, you're going to have to think, okay, you ready? Astronomers tell us that there are an average of 100 billion stars in one galaxy. All right, you got that? 100 billion stars in just one galaxy. There are at least 100 million galaxies in known space. Just what we know. Now, if Albert Einstein is right, he says that space is a billion times greater than known space. Now listen, that's a lot of stars. I couldn't even give you the number because I can't think that big. But someone said that that number would equal the grains of sand that existed on the whole of all the earth. And I opened my Bible to Genesis 1, and it says, in the beginning, God made it all. Through faith, I understand that the worlds were framed by the powerful word of God. And that's something that the smartest people in our world haven't even learned yet. These are things that are ours, and we embrace them how? By faith. Do you know what the Bible says? The fool has said in his heart, do you know the rest of that verse? There is no God. Do you know that you can disprove evolution here on earth with this one thing? I read this week too. Just the population of the world alone disproves evolution. Listen to this. There are approximately 3 billion people in the world. Scientists tell us that the world increases at the rate of 1% on average per year. And if the population has been going on for, let's say, 500,000 years, as some of the evolutionists say, they say we've been having people for 500,000 years. That's a conservative statement. Some say we've been having people for 2 million years. But let's just say 500,000 years ago, somebody lost his tail and jumped out of the tree and found a woman. Let's just say that happened 500,000 years ago, and it increased at 1% per year. And he's been increasing for 500,000 years. Do you know what the population of the world would be today? It would be 37.5 billion people per square foot. Now, that's ridiculous. But if you start with the present-day population and you reduce it 1% going backwards, when you go about 10,000 years, you get back to one person. And that's what the Bible claims about 10,000 years since creation. And the Bible says, in the beginning, God created man. So the whole concept of trying to explain everything without God is just a fool's effort. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So faith is that which sees what the mind can't see. And faith understands that God created the world. And faith understands, I enter into this covenant of grace by trusting, relying on, placing all of my being in this man, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, he that believes in me has life. Now I want you to turn to Romans 1:20, and let's look at one verse there, and I'm almost done. Go to Romans 1:20. Because we get another interesting little insight into creation here. It says there, I'll give you a minute to get there, Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his, that would be God's invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Do you know the whole world is without excuse? You know why? We have creation. And when you look at creation, you see God. You see his invisible attributes. Just have a baby. That is the hugest miracle, to think of the creation of a baby. It's amazing, is it not? And that seems to say that the evidence that God made the world, it is the things that he made clearly point to him as the creator. In fact, his fingerprints are everywhere. You just study the order. You study the beauty. You look at the greatness. You look at the complexity, all the variety, all the color. I mean, there's so much evidence that God made the world. It's such an incredible design. And a design demands there be a designer. And we're all looking at the same fingerprints. Have you ever looked at one of those 3D pictures and it's all this design and you stare at it and suddenly an image jumps out at you? Have you ever done that? It's fun to do. And so at first when you look at it, you can't see a thing. I mean, it's just like, oh, I want to see it. And you're just studying and you're staring at it. It's kind of like faith. Suddenly God jumps out. As you look at creation, he jumps out. And you see his fingerprints everywhere. Faith is a spiritual act that sees the fingerprints of God. And real faith is based on truth. It's based on truth. Now, what will faith look like in your life? You say, I'm a woman of faith. What will faith look like in your life? We're going to look at some lives. And we're going to see that faith makes a difference. Turn back to chapter 10, and I'm going to close with this verse in Hebrews. Chapter 10, and I want you to look at verse 34. Chapter 10, verse 34. Now listen, some of the Christians that he's writing to were imprisoned, and some that weren't imprisoned made a hard decision to identify with them, and they risked some things to do it. They risked their property, and they even risked their lives. And verse 34 tells us what happened. Look at it there in chapter 10, verse 34. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Now this is the kind of life the whole book of Hebrews is aiming to produce. It's a life that says, because I believe this, I'm willing to pay a very high price. I'm even willing to joyfully accept things in my life for the love of others so that they can have the love of God as well. But you know what, in America, and I'm talking to myself, we love comfort, we love ease,
We love security, and we say that's necessary to my happiness. But if we're going to be women of faith, we're going to know that there's only one life to live, and only what's done in the name of Christ for eternity and for the good of others will count in the end. You say, I'm going to live differently. I'm going to live differently. And verse 34 there, I think, makes clear that such a way of life comes by faith. Because I believe there's something more on the other side of the grave. Living with a great confidence that there's more in eternity. So I want you to get ready to be challenged to your toenails. I'm going to step on some toes and I'm going to step on my own toes. Because I want to grow in regards to faith. And we're going to look and get some pictures of people, and we're going to learn some things you didn't know. And so be here and let's study together. And let's pray as we close. Our Father, we confess to you that we want to be women of faith. We want to be women who live for eternity. Father, we want our lives to count. We want to have a sure foundation on which we stand. And it's going to affect the way we live. It's going to affect the way we think. It's going to affect our decisions in life. Because we don't want to just live for the present and for the passing pleasures of sin. But we want to be like Moses. And we want to walk with you, and we want to know you. And we want our lives to be pleasing to you. And so, Father, take this study and use it in our lives to grow us in regards to faith. Thank you for the privilege of studying your word. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of letting me teach your word. And, Father, as we look at it, we're challenged. And so challenge us, exhort us, strengthen us, help us. And we praise you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.